dear listeners, my dear audience, my dear brother and sister, to have kind of thorough, let's say, a study of the verses of Noble Quran, and to have the, you know, to complete the study about the verses of Noble Quran, and not to pick out one verse and try to understand it, or rather implement those verses.
Yeah.
You know, it is granted for those people who are familiar with the verses of Noble Quran and Quranic sciences, or you may translate it to Quranic knowledge, or Quranic study, it is very obvious that before, you know, everything, it is necessary for person who want to understand the verse of Noble Quran to have the thorough study of verse of Noble Quran, and not to pick single verse and try to understand that. Okay, you have to study of the verse of Noble Quran. It is very important.
Yeah.
Not only in the verse of Noble Quran, rather to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt. You know that talking about this verse of the chapter Tawbah, if you have the go to other verses, I mean the, you know, verses revealed after this verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 9 said that اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. Those people, they have sold the signs of Allah for, you know, a little gain, and barred people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, and it is a worse action that they were doing. You see that, first of all, he said that اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيل الله. They barred people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, first of all, we understand from this verse of the Noble Quran, which is after verse 5, I mean, verses after this verse that we are talking about.
Yeah.
These people, they actually, they sold the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and barred from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are not simple, let's say, ordinary polytheists. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about some group of people, they have these characteristics. Okay, and then he said, "لا يرقبون في مؤمن إلا ولا دمة وأولئك هم المعتدون." This is verse number 10. They observe toward believers neither kinship nor covenant.
Yeah.
So, and then he said that ألا تقاتلون. This is verse number 13. ألا تقاتلون قوما نكثوا أيمانهم وهموا بإخراج الرسول وهم بدأوكم أول مرة. Will you not make war on people who broke their pledges and resolve to expel the apostle and open hostility against you initially? Very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm talking about some polytheists who started hostility and war towards you, Muslim, initially.
So it's not addressing any kind of polytheist or infidel.
It's not addressing, it doesn't mean that you should go to find out a polytheist and to kill that individual. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about some groups, the initial, you know, initiated war against Muslims, and they do not care about any covenant or any kinship, okay?
Yeah.
And they barred from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very, you know, a special group that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about.
Very true.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So it has its own condition. It's not every, let's say, politics and infidel that we it might come to our mind. So
exactly.
It has some certain, those who have started or established a war against us, and those who are not following any covenant or any treaty between Muslims and themselves.
I want to say that at least in this verses of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to talk about the defensive war. Okay? And of course, everybody, every individual, they believe in defending your right, your territory, Okay?
And it's quite rational and logical. In case you are attacked, you need to defend yourself.
Yes.
And for sure, as you rightly mentioned, it is for the as a defensive means rather than a primary, let's say, aggression over a person.
Yes, exactly. And according to one understanding of Shia scholar, we have the, you know, defensive war. We do not have initiative war. You cannot initiate any war against any people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, of course, I do not want to go to the jurisprudential aspect of that. According to the, you know, some other scholar who believe in initiative war or jihad al-ibtida'i, it has its own explanation. Mm-hmm. But very briefly, what does it mean to initiate war against the, you know, polytheist people? It means that to remove the impediments from the understanding of people and to give freedom to people.
Very true.
And to give kind of freedom for people to choose Islam or, for example, any other religion.
La ikraha fid din.
Exactly. We cannot impose any religion to people. Rather, we want to, you know, remove the ways, remove the impediments from the freedom of people and to give them total freedom to choose.
Very true.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that qatilu a'immat al-kufr, to fight with the leaders of the polytheism and unbelief, it showed and indicate that just we want to remove the, you know, barriers from the way of the freedom of people and to give them total freedom and absolute freedom to choose.
Very true.
But unfortunately, some people prevent people from choosing and they prevent them from freedom.
Exactly.
So, of course, I do not want to go to the detail of the Islamic laws, but even according to those scholars who believe in the initiative war, it means that, first of all, it has some conditions. For example, in the time of the infallible person, it is not in the time of other people, I mean in the time of the occultation, you know, according to some scholar. But some other scholar, they believe that it could be even in the time of the occultation by the permission of the, you know, Islamic jurists, qualified Islamic jurists. But the main condition of that, as I mentioned, is for the removal of the, you know,
impediments.
Yeah, impediments of the freedom of the choice of people.
Thank you very much. So even, as you rightly mentioned, even the initiative or primary war has its own condition that it cannot easily happen in case, even if we accept that it is widely accepted by Muslim scholars, right?
Exactly, yes.
Then even in the case of defensive, this is a certain or let's say logical right of a person to defend himself or herself. So we need to say that in this very verse, that is verse 5 of chapter At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to kill any polytheist. Just those who have established a war against us and they are not keeping any covenant and promise. And in that case, so we have our own right to actually fight them back. So this is certainly a fighting back, not starting a fight or killing without any reason.
Exactly, yes. Of course, any, you know, war in, you know, in Islam has its own condition, even for the, you know, different wars, you know, let's say defensive war or initiative war, we have a lot of conditions attached to that. As I mentioned, the presence of the infallible person, it is, according to many and majority of scholars, it is one of the, you know, condition attached to that. Or many other condition to, first of all, for example, explain to people about the Islamic laws. But after all, the philosophy of war in Islam is to, as I said, to remove the impediments.
Very true.
Of the freedom of choice of people. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after all, we have this idea and Vedic mind Shia scholars that all wars in Islam are defensive, not initiative wars.
Ahsan, Ibn al-Sheikh, thank you very much for your scholarly and quite informative explanations, Shaykhana. So all in all, as I summarized earlier, we have understood that killing the infidels or polytheists is not something quite absolute, but it has some its own condition. That is, in case that we are fought and we are trying to defend ourselves and those who are not keeping any covenant and they are actually trying to initiate a war against us. So we need to defend ourselves, and this verse of the Holy Quran refers to that case. Definitely it requires to have a good knowledge of understanding the tafsir and commentary and interpretation of the Holy Quran, and with an overall look at the other verses of the Holy Quran, even very easily in the same chapter of the Holy Quran, in the chapter of Al-Tawbah, as the respected guest, the speaker of the show, looked at some of those verses to prove the case and the bringing and strong evidence. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for accompanying us, and your respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRB English Radio. Till our next session, I'll leave in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Thousands of South Koreans gathered in downtown Seoul to remember the tragic deaths of Shin Mi-sun and Shin Hyo-soon, ran over by a U.S. military vehicle on their way to their friend's birthday party on June 13, 2002. The children's family's lawyer hopes for change in U.S. relations and influence on Korea.
The massacre of two middle school students is a symbol of unequal South Korea-U.S. relations. In that regard, I think that the work of candlelight among our people to establish an equal relationship between South Korea and the United States in the future and move toward peaceful reunification of the Korean Peninsula remains unfinished.
Two U.S. soldiers were charged with negligent homicide but acquitted in a U.S. military court amid anti-American candlelight protests.
The deaths of Mi-sun and Hyo-soon under the tracks of a U.S. military vehicle 20 years ago are but one episode of a problematic alliance relationship, from the status of forces agreement to the cost of hosting 28,500 troops in South Korea. Alliance ties are a constant source of controversy and debate.
Some argue South Koreans view the presence of U.S. forces as an obstacle preventing the country from exercising sovereignty.
It's not fit for the global era and very risky for South Korea to cling to a falling sun with the status of American hegemony declining so much. I hope we can establish more neutral diplomacy reflecting our national interests.
New President Yoon Suk-yeol seeks to strengthen the South Korea-U.S. alliance, a shift in policy that worries many South Koreans. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi and his visiting Venezuelan counterpart Nicolas Maduro have signed a 20-year document on comprehensive strategic cooperation, which mainly covers a wide range of areas, including petrochemical, oil, economic, tourism, cultural, and political fields. In a press briefing after the signing ceremony, President Raisi and his Venezuelan counterpart Maduro said the two countries should work together closely in areas such as trade, economy, agriculture, as well as science and technology. They also hailed establishment of direct Tehran-Caracas flights as an opportunity to enhance relations and bring the two nations closer.
Venezuela has shown that it has put up exemplary resistance against the enemy's threats, sanctions, and imperialism. The Iranian nation, too, has been under numerous sanctions and threats for more than 40 years now. But the Iranian people have turned these sanctions into an opportunity to further make progress.
We will witness how the new world will take shape and how we will stand up to problems and secure progress. Iranian and Venezuelan youth should know that the future world will enjoy equality and justice, and that we will stand up to imperialism.
Earlier on Friday, in an interview with Iran's Spanish TV channel Hispan TV, Maduro said Venezuela and Iran are on the front line of shaping a world free of imperialism and dominant powers. Maduro also hailed Iran's courageous move to send fuel tankers to his energy-hungry nation, saying Tehran's delivery of oil to Caracas was a great help to the Venezuelan people. Heading a high-ranking political-economic delegation, Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro arrived in Tehran on a two-day state visit at the invitation of Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi. This is his second visit to Tehran. The first one took place about 6 years ago. Both Iran and Venezuela have managed to withstand the economic pressures from the United States and have closely cooperated to offset the impact of the illegal sanctions, especially in their energy sectors. Saman Kujrip, Tehran.
In the Muslim-majority Indian-administered Kashmir, people observed a shutdown to denounce the derogatory remarks by two members of the ruling Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party against Prophet Muhammad. After condemnations by the global Muslim community, the two were suspended. Despite strict security arrangements, people in the summer capital, Srinagar, took to the streets, saying they have tolerated everything so far, but nothing against their beloved prophet.
We demand stringent punishment against these culprits. No religion teaches intolerance. What we see growing attacks on Muslims and their emotions in India now.
These two people have dented the image of Hinduism on the global form by speaking against the prophet of Islam. Scores of Muslim countries are today upset about India and its behavior towards minority Muslims. We have tolerated a lot, be it scraping of Article 370 or delimitation. But this time, it's about our beloved prophet. We'll take to the streets without fearing any consequences.
In Srinagar, mobile internet services were suspended as a precautionary measure to avoid the snowballing of protests. Government forces were seen deployed in strength while people closed down businesses, shops and other activities. Last week, BJP suspended its national spokesperson, Nupur Sharma, who made anti-Islam remarks on a TV debate last month. Also, Naveen Kumar Jindal was expelled from the party over his blasphemous tweets about the Prophet Muhammad. The controversial remarks against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, have sparked global outrage against India. The Muslim community across the world is denouncing the growing anti-Muslim ideology and hate crimes against the minorities in the country. They're accusing BJP of backing anti-Muslim ideology in what they call once a secular India. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
There was no sign of pressure on the faces of those who run the European Central Bank when they met on Thursday to agree on bad news for hard-pressed mortgage holders across the 19-nation eurozone. Interest rates will go up by a quarter of 1% next month, most likely a half of 1% in September, and that's not where it will end.
Beyond September, based on our current assessment, we anticipate that a gradual but sustained path of further increases in interest rates will be appropriate.
The ECB manages the euro. It will be the bank's first interest rate hike in 11 years. The idea is to bring down inflation. It's now at a record high of 8.1% when the ECB's target is just below 2%. Rising energy, food and accommodation prices are hitting EU citizens hard.
Living in Brussels as well, the cost of living is high already, and then so it's if it's going up, it's even worse.
Everything is like, so you have to be careful.
like calculate like exactly what you waste, what you spend on.
The people got some situation that they don't got enough money to go to the end of the month.
The EU mainly blames Moscow for the financial crisis because of the conflict in Ukraine. The bloc's justice ministers also met on Thursday to figure out a way of seizing the assets of Russian citizens without the need for a conviction in court.
It's a discussion that I have also with our US colleagues. We are on the same line to try to see what is possible to do. But you know that we try to promote the rule of law.
Off the back of sanctions against Russia, the EU's economy is on its knees. Critics say Western powers were wrong not to listen to Moscow's security concerns as they built up military capabilities close to Russia's borders and refused to rule out Ukraine joining NATO.
ECB bosses are due to meet again to discuss the financial crisis on the 21st of July. Many are asking if the EU's focus stays on arming Ukraine and not conflict resolution, how can things possibly improve between now and then? Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
A daily occurrence in Donetsk, a building going up in smoke. It was hit by Ukrainian shelling. This time it's an industrial warehouse, but targets like this are not usual.
Now, working as a journalist here, whenever I have nothing else planned, I simply follow the incoming here in Donetsk. And when I arrived at the fifth school that had been hit in as many days, the penny started to drop. And I asked my translator, a local woman with her two-year-old child herself, does the Ukrainian army intentionally shell schools? She replied as if it was the most normal thing in the world. Well, yes, they've been doing it for the last 8 years.
School 5, 13, 22, 33, 57, 106, 114, 116. There are dozens more. So why is Ukraine purposefully targeting schools? In 2014, when the shelling began, former Ukrainian president Petro Poroshenko made this famous speech.
Because we will have our jobs and they will not. We will have our pensions and they will not. We will have care for our children, people and retirees, and they will not. Our children will go to schools and kindergartens, and theirs will hole up in the basements because they are not able to do a thing. This is exactly how we will win this war.
Six schools were hit only this week. They would like to create a humanitarian crisis here, so as many of us leave as possible. They think that this is their land and the Russian-speaking people are foreigners. They want us to leave to Russia. That's why they shell civilians here every day.
In 2014, School 57 was hit on the exact day the students returned for the school year. 10 people were killed.
Now, for obvious reasons, for the last 8 years, children here in Donetsk have learnt from home. The school around the corner was hit on the 30th of May this year. And on that day, children were expected or scheduled to come back to school for exams, which begs the question, are the Ukrainian army trying to maximise casualties here at these schools?
There are wounded and killed people every day. Children are dying too. My son is 4 years old. He hasn't seen peaceful life yet. He knows what war is, though. And he likes the soldiers who defend us. When my district was on the shelling, we were hiding in the corridor. He was afraid. He took the phone and started shouting into it, "Please, soldiers, come and help us." I think every mom here has got a similar story.
During 8 years of conflict, 117 children have been killed in the DPR. The Ukrainian government claims the city is still part of its country. The inescapable fact is that NATO is arming a government that is using its weapons to blow up, as it claims, its own schools and to target children. Perhaps the most shocking part of this story is that most of the world has turned a blind eye to the mountain of evidence of these crimes for 8 years. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
Thousands of Iranian Muslims have come together in capital Tehran to celebrate the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, the eighth infallible Shia Imam. People from different walks of life took part in the ceremony to pay respect to the lofty status of Imam Reza, who is considered by Iranians as a symbol of divine love and affection.
I'm here to say that we love Imam Reza from the bottom of our hearts. I have raised my children with a love for Imam Reza. We are ready to die for him, and we will continue his path.
The ceremony comes almost 10 days after France awarded a movie titled Holy Spider during the Cannes Film Festival, which Muslims believed insulted Islamic sanctities.
Iranian officials believe that awarding the movie Holy Spider is insulting and politically motivated and is the product of the confused mind of a Danish-Iranian filmmaker, sponsored and financed by global arrogance.
People strongly condemn the move by France, saying such a sacrilegious act will never be forgotten.
I want to send this message to the enemies that the light of the sun will never fade away. So the name and the path of Imam Reza will remain forever and the enemies' plots will never bear any results.
I believe that awarding the movie Holy Spider has been totally politically motivated and it was an open insult to Islamic sanctities. We condemn such a movie and we condemn such a sacrilegious act against Islam.
The participants believe that the large gathering of Muslim believers has sent this message to the enemies of Islam, that Muslims will never remain silent and indifferent towards any insult against their sanctities, and they are ready to defend their Islamic values and beliefs until the last drop of their blood. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
The moment an exhibition turned into a series of violent assaults committed by the MKO, a cult-like organization that has the blood of 17,000 Iranians on its hands. Press TV's camera crew, reporting on an exhibition showcasing MKO bombings and assassinations, was attacked by angry supporters of the group. After being driven out of post-revolution Iran, the MKO based itself in Camp Ashraf in Iraq, where members were forced to pledge allegiance to its leader Massoud Rajavi and demonstrate that allegiance with cult-like behavior. For women, that meant divorcing their husbands and marrying him. Many families spent years on the fringes of the camp begging for their children to be released, but to no avail. The camp was later dismantled in the wake of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Until 2012, the MKO was on the U.S. terrorist list. It was also blacklisted by the EU until 2009. Since being removed, the new leader of the cult, Maryam Rajavi, has forged close relationships with Western officials.
What unfolded on the streets of Stockholm today was a shocking reminder that the EU has become a safe haven for the MKO, which attacks journalists like myself with little fear of retribution. The question now is, will there be an investigation? Bianca Rahimi, Stockholm.
We are visiting Afghan food markets, where prices are hiking day by day. Food items are short, and people don't have cash to buy them. Customers here tell us about their struggle to provide food and livelihoods.
If I save the whole salary of my 20 days of work, I will be able to buy a sack of flour, because I hardly can make only a dollar per day. However, most of the days, I'm without the job. In such a situation where prices are also skyrocketing, I can no longer provide livelihoods for my family.
On Wednesday, the UN chief said the impacts of the war in Ukraine have generated food and finance crises globally, with vulnerable ones being hit hard. Afghan experts say Afghanistan is among the countries affected harshly.
Previously, the prices of food items, including that of flour, were lower. Since the beginning of Russia-Ukraine conflict, the prices have started to rise. Then a sack of flour was $17, but now it is nearly $30. Unfortunately, our country is also facing an unprecedented drought that has a significant role in food shortages.
In the meantime, Afghan traders and businessmen also complain about the severe impacts of freezing Afghan assets by the U.S. and global sanctions on the country.
The U.S. seizing of Afghan assets has left a severe effect on our markets and livelihoods. Earlier, a dollar was exchanged with 77 Afghanis, but now, due to U.S. sanctions, a dollar has been raised to 89. We urge the U.S. and the international community to not add to the miseries of Afghan people and free their frozen funds as soon as possible.
Following the Taliban takeover, the U.S. and allies froze some $9 billion in Afghan central bank assets, and major funding to the country was halted. Sanctions and ripple effects from the war in Ukraine have triggered food crisis in Afghanistan. Most people here say they can afford a single sack of flour, since the prices have more than doubled. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
We're on our way to the front line, outside the key Ukrainian stronghold of Adievka. We pull up by the side of the road. It feels like no man's land.
The town is fortified well, but we're working on them, dismantling their dugouts with artillery. We're making passages in their defenses and going deeper. You can hear our volleys now.
Now, it's too dangerous to take the car along this road, as it can be a target for anti-tank missiles fired from the Ukrainians, who are just about a kilometer in that direction, so we're going on foot.
These fighters are from the Donbas, now loyal to Russia. They've been fighting here against Ukrainian nationalists for 8 years. Trench warfare has returned once again to Europe. While some of the world's most advanced weapons are slaughtering dozens of soldiers every day, the best defense remains underground. The living quarters, it's infested with kittens. The soldiers tell me that they have them at every outpost. They bring good luck, they say. More likely, much needed comfort in this brutal war.
Now, Adievka is just over in that direction there. It's so well fortified that risking a frontal attack would cost so many lives, or indeed may not even be possible. That's why the Russian army is trying to encircle the Ukrainian army to the north of here. And then, after it does that, if it's able to do that, they plan to come down here and take Adievka. Because to take Donbass, the whole of Donbass, it's major fortifications like this, which will have to be taken as well.
The remains of mortar shells. The trenches are doing their job. It's been some time since Russia has released its casualty figures, perhaps because the number might be hard for Russian people to swallow. But it's clear, with overwhelming air and artillery superiority, Russia is winning this war, where the fighting is fiercest. The next outpost, as promised, more kittens. Russian soldiers are being dehumanized by Ukrainian propaganda as monsters and orcs, leading to atrocities committed against Russian POWs. But it's clear these soldiers are very human indeed. Upon hearing I was British, one of the soldiers appealed to me to tell the truth about what was happening here to people back in the UK. I asked him what that truth was.
That there's a genocide of the Russian-speaking population going on here. The Ukrainians have been shelling our people for 8 years. They are trying to extinguish us. Tell them about this at least. At any moment, I can die here. But I am on my land and I will fight for it.
No doubt the Ukrainian soldiers in their trenches across the fields will have a very different version of the truth. Compromise is being achieved through war. Appropriately for this European conflict, poppies grow in the trenches. Many years from now, perhaps soldiers from both sides will be able to commemorate their fallen comrades together. But for now, the battle for the Donbass rages on. Johnny Miller, Donbass.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
The U.S. Senate, with so many of its members enthralled to and funded by the gun lobby, will only posture, pray, hold a moment or two of silence, and then do virtually nothing. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written jointly by Amy Goodman and Dennis Moynihan researchers. This article is published under the heading, "The U.S. is bleeding from gunshot wounds." Here's the details. Gun worship is transcendent in the United States, with 400 million guns in circulation, more guns than people, and only cursory controls on who can buy or access them. Firearms are fetishized, celebrated, and brandished throughout U.S. society, delivering a devastating daily death toll unknown anywhere else in the world. This idolatry reveres above all else the semi-automatic AR-15 dubbed America's Rifle by NRA. In the wake of back-to-back massacres in Buffalo, New York and Uvalde, Texas, both committed by 18-year-old men with legally purchased AR-15-style semi-automatic rifles, victims and their advocates are pushing for genuine gun control. But the Senate, with so many of its members enthralled to and funded by the gun lobby, will only posture, pray, hold a moment or two of silence, and then do virtually nothing. Kimberly Mata Rubio said in testimony before the House Committee on Oversight and Reform recently, "Our two youngest children, Julian, 8, and Lexi, 10, were at Robb Elementary. On the morning of May 24, 2022, I dropped Lexi and Julian off at school a little after 7 a.m. My husband and I returned to campus. At 10:30 a.m. for Lexi's award ceremony. Lexi received the Good Citizen Award and was also recognized for receiving all A's. We took photos with her before asking her to pose for a picture with her teacher, Mr. Reyes. That photo, her last photo ever, was taken at approximately 10:54 a.m. The teenage shooter arrived at school about half an hour later. And while 19 police officers reportedly hovered outside a classroom door for close to an hour, he methodically killed 19 children and two of their teachers. Today, we stand for Lexi, and in her voice, we demand action." Kimberly Mata Rubio, who works as a reporter for Uvalde Leader News, continued, "We seek a ban on assault rifles and high-capacity magazines. We understand that for some reason, to some people, to people with money, to people who fund political campaigns, that guns are more important than children. So at this moment, we ask for progress. We seek to raise the age to purchase these weapons from 18 to 21 years of age. We seek red flag laws, stronger background checks. We also want to repeal gun manufacturers' liability impunity," she added. Zanita Everhart of Buffalo also spoke. Her 21-year-old son, Zayer Goodman, worked at the Tops supermarket and was wounded there on May 14th when a white supremacist shooter killed 10 people, all of them African-American. "To the lawmakers who feel that we do not need stricter gun laws, let me paint a picture for you. My son, Zayer, has a hole in the right side of his neck. Two on his back and another on his left leg, caused by an exploding bullet from an AR-15. As I clean his wounds, I can feel pieces of that bullet in his back. Shrapnel will be left inside of his body for the rest of his life. Now, I want to picture that exact scenario for one of your children," unquote. On the same day as the hearing, the U.S. House passed, along mostly partisan lines, The Protecting Our Kids Act, which includes limited gun control provisions such as raising the minimum age for purchasing semi-automatic weapons from 18 to 21 and banning ammunition clips that hold more than 10 rounds, excluding those already privately owned. This bill is presumed dead on arrival in the Senate, where it lacks any chance of reaching the 60 votes needed to overcome the guaranteed Republican filibuster. AR-15s have enthusiastic defenders among Senate Republicans. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy told Vice they're used for killing feral pigs in the whatever the middle of Louisiana. South Dakota Senator John Thune said, "In my state, they use them to shoot prairie dogs and, you know, other types of varmints." While Republican senators protect the rights of a few to slaughter pigs and other varmints with military-grade assault weapons, Oval's only pediatrician, Dr. Roy Guerrero, described to the House Oversight Committee what he saw in the hospital as he responded to the mass shooting. Quote, "Two children whose bodies had been so pulverized by the bullets fired at them, decapitated, whose flesh had been so ripped apart that the only clue as to their identities were the blood-spattered cartoon clothes still clinging to them," unquote. The doctor ended by calling on elected officials to take action on gun control. "You are the doctors and our country is the patient. We are lying on the operating table, riddled with bullets like the children of Robb Elementary and so many other schools. We are bleeding out and you are not there. We need a comprehensive assault weapons ban now," he added.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the earth. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing well and everything is just fine with you. This is IRIB English Radio and here is your favorite realm. Welcome to the cozy corner of Youth Station. A member of this station, your friend Asma, is at your service. And here, on my side, I have my dear friend and my bestie, Zainab.
Assalamu alaikum, Asma.
Waalaikum assalam. I'm very happy to meet you here, Zainab.
Same here. I am super excited to see you after a very long time.
After such a long time.
Yes. How are you?
Thank you. It's just good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
Well. Alhamdulillah.
Today we're discussing a very interesting website, which is called Khamenei.ir. For all those who are interested to know more about the Iranian Revolution, about their leader, about the history, and they do not know from where to start, well, this site is going to help you a lot.
Our surf, yes, about Imam, surf about revolution, about Iran, any news, like latest news, old news, any speech, any condolence messages, any kind of like things, you can just go on to this website.
Yes, of
website.
Course. And also, Zainab, there is a part in that suggestion box that tells you there's a point in which you could find the biography of Imam Khamenei as well.
Yes.
That's also an interesting
part. I have gone through that too.
Yes, I have went through that too. It was very interesting.
Yes.
And I even have some I've selected some parts to read. because they attracted my attention a lot. It was such a very interesting.
Of course, I would want you to share with the audiences.
Yes, of course. For those who have not been through this website, so we give them some triggers just to go through it.
Yes.
So there was this part that I enjoyed reading while I was reading the biography of their leader. It started like this. My father, though a well-known religious figure, was a bit of an ascetic. We had a hard life. Sometimes for supper, we had nothing but bread with some raisin, which was very interesting for me, because people might think and consider that great leaders in the world are privileged people and they have some special facilities.
All the time.
All the time, yes. But it is not like this in the case of our leader. Well, which our mother had somehow improvised. Our house, some 65 square meters, consisted of a single room and a gloomy basement. When visitors came to see my father as the local cleric or to consult about their problems, the family had to move into the basement while the visit went on. Yes. Years later, some charitable person brought the small empty lot adjacent to our house.
And then they had a three-room flat.
So their home turned into a bigger place then.
Yes.
So you see, it gives you some very interesting information about the leader himself. And also there's a section
in the same biography.
Uh-huh.
What was much more touching to me than this part.
I'm very much eager to know.
Was the one where the leader had two choices.
Yes.
To either visit back Bashar to his sick father or to continue his seminary studies.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
That was very interesting as well, because his father was getting sick and he had to come back to
Like when his teachers were like insisting him, you should not leave seminary at this point of time.
Yes.
Because he had realized his talent and everything, what kind of a prominent student he had been and what kind of hardworking student he had been. Everyone was suggesting Imam not to go back.
Yes, not to leave
Imam,
it right here.
Imam chose that thing. Imam Khamenei goes back to Mashhad to see his father.
So before we get into the depth of this website, what do you say about a break?
All right.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
He says a very touching thing, which is very interesting to hear that from a leader. He says, if there have been any success in my life, they all go back to God's blessing favored upon me because of my dutiful caring for parents.
Yes.
So see how touching it is to hear that from a leader.
Yes.
So before coming here and reading this biography, I didn't know all this stuff, though I am living in Iran. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean, there's
yes.
some secrets you can't get unless you go through a deep study.
Deep study. And I think the material you'll get through one book, two books, three books, maybe 100 books, that's all collected in this one.
Exactly,
portal.
That's the point.
Yes.
It's like, you know,
because
million books
I just,
in a nutshell.
When I even learned Persian, I started reading some personal biography books on Imam.
Mm-hmm.
But when I compare again, when I come back to this site, I always feel like I'm in need of this website.
Yes,
to know more about.
And by this website, we are talking about, we mean actually
Khamenei.ir.
You could also visit leader.ir. You could connect with the leader as well. There's a section at the below of each part that gives you the chance to leave your comments or messages.
Wow.
And it was very interesting to read people's comment on each section. It was very interesting. Many people from all around the world, even America or the eastern part of the world, who might have no clue or idea about the leader or the revolution.
You know, Asma,
they've mentioned some very interesting things.
Yes, like people living in the east, people living in the west, people living in the north, people living in the south.
Exactly.
Everyone is thirsty
that
about
is,
this
it's
knowledge.
It's a very good point you mentioned, Zainab. They are thirsty.
Because I had been thirsty too.
Yes.
I know that. I have felt that. And I went to the the website mm-hmm. with that curiosity, with that thirst.
Exactly.
And this was something that really fulfilled my thirst. And that was Khamenei.ir. And it was not like only the speeches.
Yes,
you
not
had
just the
a
speeches.
Lot of sections. I mean, there's a section in which a picture tells you a complete story.
Exactly.
The caricature part, the
a
cartoons.
Caricature, yes. Those cartoons. Also, I was going to mention that there is a part, as you come to the bottom of the website, there is a part that has, it's in blue on top of it. It's been written, there's been a quotation from Imam Khamenei, mm-hmm. which says, "Despite all enmities, good words of Islamic Republic is becoming stronger every day." And then beneath it, we have the part that gives you, again, suggestions about the speeches, full text, news, multimedia, photos, videos, posters. And this part is my favorite part because it was very interesting. It was like it gives you the headline. And through using a caricature, they're giving you the main idea. And beneath that, there is a quotation or a speech from the leader in a very short manner. It is called Artworks. That's also a very interesting section.
Yes. And the motion graphics, the artwork, the gallery, the video, the multimedia and everything. Combination of everything.
Has
it's a combination
made it easy
of
for everyone
graphics.
To
it's
get
a combination.
Everything easily.
Yes, at one place. Mm-hmm. And that too at one place. And what is much more better is that it's available in all the living language. I must say at least.
This is very important. Because
yes.
it is in all the different languages anyone could want to use.
Yes, yes. Because English is something that's internationally mm-hmm. used everywhere. But then there are some very interesting languages like Hindi is only known in India. So,
yes.
So the site is making efforts to even translate the material into some other language that some
Zainab,
one part
also,
of the world gets to know about it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. There was also another interesting part for me. It was about the bookshelf.
All right.
Have you been through that? It was very interesting. It gives you some suggestions upon some very interesting books and the latest books that are getting viral in Iran or in Islamic places.
All right.
Then also in the part of news, we have some interesting headlines. They give you some interesting titles and you will get familiar with the important debates of the day. And also, there are some points on Palestine.
Yes. There's so much about Palestine.
Exactly.
There's so
yes.
much about Palestine. There's so much about resistance on the
exactly.
site.
Exactly. I saw a picture, actually, just as I was going through Palestine. I
All
saw
right.
a picture, which was very heart-touching. It was, and the headline was just like this, "The Heartbreaking Story of Palestine."
All right.
There was a picture of a child with all the bruises on his face and then a tear drop which has been frozen on his cheeks. The kind of posters and images they use in this
yes,
website, they're
yes,
very interesting.
Since we're talking about Palestine, I think when I went last to the site was a poster showing... Yes, and I went out to, I think when I went last to the site was the cartoon portion wherein the latest cartoon was about the Palestine itself from stones
to missiles.
Yeah.
Just as you go through it for some seconds and minutes, you cannot leave it because some interesting points will pop up to you and you would get much of enthusiasm to go and find more and more.
Yes.
We are talking about Khamenei.ir, Khamenei.ir.
I have literally felt like how much this leader has, took Quran into himself, into his soul, how much he feels it. And you feel like you're reading the text of Quran.
Exactly.
When you're, and monotheism, Tawheed gets manifested in each and every of his words. So I think that has been the strength behind the revolution. That has been the strength behind the leadership of Iran. That
exactly.
has been the strength behind the revolution
yes.
is monotheism, because they believe, one of the kids asked the supreme leader, why are Western powers afraid of us? And the leader replies, because we are afraid of God.
So also there, just to give you some hints in order to make you more attracted and to go and visit it by your own self, for those who are interested in literature and they think there's no way to connect literature with politics and such a great leader,
yeah.
but there's a shocker for you, because there are also some stuffs related to literature. I was very interested to see that there is something about Tolstoy's War and Peace. The leader has made some comments on that, and also about Sartre, even bringing the name of Sartre and talking about how he's been deceived by the Israel to write about the land which had no people in it.
All right.
So these are very interesting.
Of course these are.
And for those who are not living in Iran and they have no concept of the leader, they actually do not have an image of it. Well, if you go through this website, and also if you have noticed all the pictures and photos about the leader, then you would see there is always a ring in his hand.
Of course.
Those rings have got stories. Actually, these stones are some kind of holy and very valuable stones. Yes.
Yeah.
That's also an interesting part, that everyone is after one of those rings.
Yeah.
And so in all the documentaries, if the audience happened to be interested in the topic, they might have seen some documentaries upon that, and they see that people are so eager to get some of those rings from the leader.
Of course.
There's plenty of information for you out there. Go and check it.
There's literature, there's graphics.
Everything,
there's
everything.
Everything you will need. There's everything you need to know about the love. The
yeah.
love. Because Imam is love. Love for all those
exactly.
who are thirsty.
And you would learn a lot more about the revolution and this school of thought related
yes.
to the leaders. So also, just to point that at the very end of our discussion, there is a very important point in that website as well, which gives you information about the letters the leader has shared with the Western youth.
Exactly. That was coming into my mind when you said the comment section, that
mm-hmm.
people from all around the world can write letters. I had this thing in my mind that if a leader writes letters to the youth.
It's such a moving thing to hear that a leader with that much of respectability comes to talk with the youth.
Exactly.
And he appoints that, he addresses the Western youth, which is very interesting. He's calling them to notice, to get more information. So that's it.
And everything starts with praising Allah, praising God, and
exactly,
everything ends
yes.
with praising God.
So if you're going to visit this website, make sure you go through those letters as well. You are listening to IRB English Radio. Thank you for visiting Pars today. This was Youth Station. And from my side, Zainab, and the entire cast of Youth Station, I bid you farewell until next episode. Thank you for listening.
Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.